Good morning, Chris.
G'day.
Thanks very much for joining me. Now, if maintenance of public housing continues to be ignored, how's that going to affect people who live in the properties?
Yeah, it already does. If you're like me, you've spent any time on an advice line from for a tenant service, that already people are putting up with really abject conditions in some public housing properties, some properties are in a very rundown state. There's two problems with public housing and the way it's funded. Basically, we need to public housing costs money to build or to acquire, and it also costs money to keep it running, to keep the lights on, to keep the place maintained, and we've not been properly funding either of those two sides of the public housing business for a long time now. And the result is that people put up with poorly maintained properties. That's one result. But the other result too is that we just can't grow the stock. In fact, what some housing authority has been doing for some years now is selling stock, basically cannibalising the stock to try to pay or try to fill in some of the ongoing costs that they have on their remaining properties, which isn't a sustainable way of running a social housing business.
No, that certainly doesn't sound sustainable at all. And it sounds like it's in a dire situation. Well, I understand that the federal government has proposed revitalisation of the sector. Whether or not that will go ahead, who's to say? But do we know what their proposed revitalisation will actually involve?
Well, what they're talking about is, what's recently been talked about is a setting up some sort of entity that can borrow money from the private sector and then lend that money in turn to community housing providers, in particular social housing providers. This is a worthwhile thing that governments should be interested in doing. When we talk about public housing, we're talking about the state government agencies that manage most of our social housing stock, most of our non-market rental. But there is this sector that's grown up over the last few years, still relatively small, but it's run by community housing providers, community housing agencies, not-for-profit, community-based agencies that manage rental housing and increasingly own a little bit of it themselves. They've been growing while the public housing stock has been shrinking. There's good reason to be optimistic about the potential of the community housing sector, and something like the government's current thinking around this what's known as a bond aggregator model, they're borrowing from public sector, lending at a cheap rate to community housing, is something that could benefit them. Mm. But it doesn't go anywhere near to solving that basic problem that I said at the beginning, which is that social housing costs something to buy, and that it also costs something to run.
Mm. Yeah.
So, look, this will help. Something like the bond aggregator can help the community housing organisations get more affordable funding to buy new housing stock. So it's good for that, but we still need a reliable source of funds to help help pay for the ongoing cost of social housing. I should say most of that ongoing cost of social housing is covered by tenants' rent. So that ongoing cost of the cost of maintenance and tenancy management and water bills and all of that, most of that would be paid for by tenants through their rent. But there is a gap. Their rents don't cover all of it, and we need to have a sustainable, certain subsidy that helps social housing providers, that whether they're public housing or community housing, helps them cover the gap between what it costs them to keep the business running and what tenants are able to affordably pay in rent.
Mm. Okay. Well, to delve a little bit further into the community housing, the not-for-profit sort of community housing situation, anything not-for-profit does tend to inspire a little bit more faith, especially with something like community involvement. Now, what sort of impact or difference in the sort of state of the housing does this have on tenants, the community housing and not-for-profit?
Yeah, the community housing sector has a good claim to make about their reputation with tenants. It's not 100% perfect, but they get a good government every year surveys tenants to see if they're satisfied with the social housing they're getting, and community housing tenants persistently say that they're satisfied at higher rates than those in the public housing system. So they do well on that score. And also, I know this from my own contact with them and also from tenants who have been involved, that they are more open, generally speaking, that they're more open to either tenants being involved. Sometimes they're even involved in management of a community housing organisation or consulted, but there's some sort of there's an ethos in the organisation for encouraging community development and neighbourhood groups whether it's block meetings or a resident association or something like that. There seems to be an ethos in that sector for encouraging that sort of thing and developing communities, neighbourhoods, and they do some good work in that regard. So that's part of community housing's claim to being to being where the focus should be for the future of social housing, and they've got some good reasons for making that claim. Another advantage that they have in the present system, anyway, is that community housing tenants are eligible to receive from the Commonwealth Government rent assistance paid through Centrelink. So, and that's something that public housing tenants aren't eligible for. So there is this revenue advantage that community housing has as well, because their tenants do get this additional rent assistance payment where they're eligible for it from Centrelink, and that additional revenue, if it's collected in rent by the Community Housing Association, can help make that gap between what the tenant pays in rent and the cost of running the housing business. So they've got that advantage too. I mean, it's an advantage that's conferred on them by the government. It decides who is eligible for rent assistance and who isn't. But that's part of the how the sector has grown and how it currently operates, and that additional revenue does make a big difference to their ongoing operations and their sustainability as a business. So they've got this ethos and mission about housing people, and yeah, it should definitely be part of our housing system that we've got that we should be aiming to get this a growing proportion of our housing stock out of the private market or into this sort of quasi market where people still do pay rent. They definitely pay rent, but there is some setting of rent and setting of other conditions that that helps achieve outcomes like affordability and security for people. So it's a promising sector, and it'd be good to have more of it taking on the private rental sector.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, it sounds like, as you outlined, it's not going to entirely fix the problem, but it definitely does sound like steps in the right direction. Chris?
There is, but as far as the government is concerned, there's more that it needs to be doing. I'm thinking particularly of the Commonwealth government, which, you know, to its credit, has looked into this, is currently looking into this housing bond model that people have been talking about for a few years. So that's good, but it isn't giving any assurances about the other part of the problem, which is having a housing authorities or housing providers should have a subsidy that they can depend on that covers the gap between what tenants are paying in rent and what it actually reasonably costs to deliver a social housing business. And the government hasn't given any assurance on that. And instead, a couple of weeks ago, was putting out through the media, suggestions that the current funding arrangements that apply may not continue. So, on the contrary, the federal government really needs to address that part of the problem as well as doing this thing that helps the community housing sector grow and innovate. It's got to get on top of the ongoing subsidy question too.
Mm. Well, hopefully we can see that start to happen in the very near future. Chris, thanks so much for joining me this morning to have a chat about this.
You're welcome. No worries.